This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday, it's a Tuesday, and it's going to be a gigantic show tonight. Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, testified in front of the Senate. We have all kinds of things to talk about there. The climate change, genocidal people are at it again. The GOP, standard GOP, doesn't understand what they're saying, doesn't take them seriously. We will discuss that. We have so much to get to. We're going to talk about the diesel engine and the history behind that. 45 minutes from now, all that and so much more is coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I need to do something before we do any of that, though. Before we do any of that, you remember the Osprey that crashed off the coast of Japan. We have an update. Courtesy of the U.S. military, Air Force, and Marines, we have the names. We read the names of people who die in training on this show, and we honor them with taps. We always have. We always will. These are heroes who died for a cause. Doesn't matter what you think. They died so others may live. Lessons will be learned from this. And these families deserve to have their sons honored as the heroes they are. Here are their names. Staff Sergeant Jake Gallagher. Major Jeffrey T. Honerman. Major Eric V. Spendlove. Major Luke A. Unrath. Captain Terrell K. Brayman. Tech Sergeant Zachary E. Lavoie. Staff Sergeant Jake M. Turnage, Air Force Senior Airman Brian K. Johnson. They gave their lives for something, and they deserve to be honored, and we will do so right now before we do the rest of our show. Rest in peace, brothers. All right, enough. Now, before we get to the Dick Durbin thing about illegals serving in the military, the Christopher Wray stuff, mocking the GOP, we have to do a couple things that are way more important than that. Way more important than that. First, did John Kerry fart? I'm going to play you the sound. I don't want to make accusations when I can't confirm them. Has anyone reached out to John Kerry for comment? Do we know what's going on here? So I'm just going to play it for you. All I can do is report. You decide.
Can be avoiding responsibility for taking away those things that are killing people on a daily basis. And the reality is that...
Did you hear it? Look, let's play it again. Let's see if we can zero in on this whole thing.
Can be avoiding responsibility for taking away those things that are killing people on a daily basis. And the reality is that...
That's a fart. That's 100% a fart. Again, look, all we can do is investigate, right? All we can do is investigate. I'm now pretty much a detective. So I have to dig through the evidence to try to figure out what's true and what's not.
Can be avoiding responsibility for taking away those things that are killing people on a daily basis. And the reality is that...
Not only was that a fart, I'm here to tell you right now, that was a reliever fart. You know how you can tell? A reliever fart being he was trying to hold that thing in, and then you could tell just the way the fart came out, you could tell that was like, oh, like that feels better moment. That fart hurt him a little bit, and you can almost sense the relief in his voice when he unloaded this.
Can be avoiding responsibility for taking away those things that are killing people on a daily basis. And the reality is that...
It's almost like the crowd was clapping the fart, which I was.
Can be avoiding responsibility for taking away those things that are killing people on a daily basis. And the reality is that...
You hear the crowd? Yes! I bet you feel better. Anyway, look, I think it's a fart. It's up to you. I report, you decide. All right? I report, you decide. That we had to do first. Here's what we have to do second. We'll get to the illegals and the FBI stuff here in just a moment. There are things that I love. Cheeseburgers. Wonderful music. We'll get to that in a little bit. I got a new invention here in the studio I'm pretty excited about. But the thing I'm most fond of is being right about stuff. You know this. That's why I gave myself the nickname the Oracle. Do you remember? You probably do, but do you remember back in March of 2022? I'm sure you have every show memorized. Back in March of last year, so by my estimation, this is like 2 years ago. Do you remember when I came on the air and I said this? Why is Andrew Cuomo coming back? I mean, millionaire, wealthy family, friends in high places. I don't care how persona non grata it is. Andrew Cuomo could simply wait a couple months, maybe a year if he has to, do a lot of fishing on his yacht, pretend to like his dog and his wife, come back and sit on some board of some finance firm, couple $1 million a year. Not hard to find those in New York. They grow on trees. Why come back? Why come back at all? Well, he's sitting on all this power. He's sitting on $18 million. And the nature of man is to use power when you have power. Andrew Cuomo, gone? Is that some kind of a joke? He's a traditional political family. We got them all over this country. How many of them ever leave? From the Clintons to the Bushes to everyone else. You can't get rid of them. These people get in there, and they want to stay in there, and then their kids get in there, and then their kids get in there. Why? Because they can. Why would Andrew Cuomo come back after all that disgrace, national disgrace? Well, $18 million buys yourself a lot of power. Headline from the New York Post today. Andrew Cuomo would, quote, trounce Eric Adams in a Democrat primary for mayor. The polls show. Just remember who told you right as soon as Magic Fingers got kicked out of office in New York. Who remember who told you he would most definitely be back. Ah, so now that we've tackled the John Kerry fart and we've congratulated me on being correct, let's dig into everything that's happening right now. First, I want to go over something here. We're actually going to lead with an email. Then we're going to get to Lindsey Graham and Dick Durbin, but this email, Jesse, Jane Goodall's statement about overpopulation was misinterpreted. Imagine that. No, she does not want to kill people. Research what you speak of. Okay. Misinterpreted. I misinterpreted this.
My name is Jane Goodall. My age is 80. My job is giving people hope. If I'm allowed to change a few things, if I just have this magic power, I would like to, without causing any pain or suffering, reduce the number of people on the planet, because there's too many of us. It's a planet of finite resources and we're using them up. But what I really, really, really would love to change is the
misinterpreted, huh? So she doesn't want a bunch of people to die? Okay, now, why bring up an email? Where am I going with this? I heard this one from Lindsey Graham today, and he's always good for these. Just, man, The low T GOP earned their name.
You seem to be comfortable, my friends on the Democratic side, while making small changes to a big problem, nibbling around the edges of this problem. It'd be like sending guns to Ukraine without any bullets. You're really robust when it comes to Ukraine, and I'm with you. But when it comes to our border, you're playing a game of doing the least amount possible to pick 10 or...
Playing a game. Is Jane Goodall... Was she not really serious? Misinterpreted the comments? Are Democrats... Are they playing a game with the border? Are they just playing games? Let's discuss these things, and then we'll get to Christopher Wray and so much more before we get to any of this. Are you ready for Christmas? Me personally? I hope I am. The wife does most of the shopping. But if you're not, you understand that Mantis X is your one-stop Christmas shop, right? Mantis X, for the experienced shooter in your life or brand new shooter in your life. Every single person who owns a weapon needs to have a Mantis X, if nothing else, just for the fun of it. Set the training aside. You understand that they put you through drills on Mantis X? You're practicing in your home without firing a shot, dry fire practicing. They're putting you through drills. They're keeping score. You'll compete with family, friends, or by yourself. Whether you are a brand new shooter, you can get feedback. Essentially, you're getting coaching in the home, or you're super experienced. Don't hand-wring about Christmas. It's right there. MantisX.com. They're serving up Christmas to you on a silver platter. MantisX.com. Go train with your weapon. Let's talk about, should we take these people seriously? Are they playing games? Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, getting to the bottom of all the hard issues.
Can be avoiding responsibility for taking away those things that are killing people on a daily basis. And the reality...
We heard it. We heard the fart, John. Anyway, joining me here in 10 minutes. I was about to say joining me in 10 minutes. Remember, we're going to learn a little bit about the inventor of the diesel engine, and it's really freaking cool. So just buckle up for that one. Also, you can email the show, your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions, whatever. Email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Someone emailed in and said Jane Goodall's comments about reducing the world's population by 90%, that those were taken out of context. She doesn't want to kill people. Lindsey Graham stood in front of Democrats as they open up our borders, and he said they're playing a game.
You seem to be comfortable, my friends on the Democratic side, while making small changes to a big problem, nibbling around the edges of this problem. It'd be like sending guns to Ukraine without any bullets. You're really robust when it comes to Ukraine, and I'm with you. But when it comes to our border, you're playing a game of doing the least amount possible.
Jane Goodall isn't serious. She doesn't want a bunch of people to die. The Democrats are playing games at the border. The American conservative, Republican, libertarian, anti-communist, whatever. The American on the right, time and time and time again, on top and on bottom, makes the same mistake. They don't take the enemy seriously. When the enemy will propose things or announce things, they're always horrific. When the communist accidentally gets honest, you know, he generally tries to lie, or in the very least, put the nicest sounding voice on whatever his horrific plans are. I mean, look, again, I'll play it again, like the Jane Goodall thing. This is a discussion about eliminating billions of people, about taking steps that will starve more people to death than Mao ever dreamt of. That's what this is. But of course, well, no pain and suffering.
My name is Jane Goodall. My age is 80. My job is giving people hope. If I'm allowed to change a few things, if I just have this magic power, I would like to, without causing any pain or suffering, reduce the number of people on the planet.
Please take Jane Goodall seriously. please take Democrats seriously. The border isn't open because they're, quote, playing games. They didn't screw up at the border. The border is open because they have a plan to end the United States of America, to burn it down so even the ash disappears. And they are implementing this plan. Jane Goodall, and more specifically, the elites who have real power in this world, they are trying to destroy life as we know it. They are the most genocidal people who have ever walked the planet. Let me repeat that again. The climate change movement, the people who believe in man-made climate change, they're not innocent, they're not naive, they're not just, oh, he's just a hippie. They are the most genocidal people in the history of the planet. Oh, Jesse, what about Hitler or Stalin? Hitler, Stalin, Mao, all of them combine all of their body count. You know what? Give the entire World War II body count to Hitler, Stalin, lump everything you can in there. It wouldn't sniff the amount of death and suffering that will come if we attack cheap, available energy. It wouldn't sniff the body count. Hitler is laughing about the people who believe in climate change calling him genocidal, because the people who believe in climate change will kill billions with a B, not millions with an M, with a B. And they announce their intention to do so all the time, and they're prepping the ground over and over and over again to kill those billions.
The scientists are saying this moment is alarming. It's without precedent. It is terrifying, some have said. And others will say we are in uncharted territory.
That's alarming. It's terrifying. It's without precedent. This is uncharted territory. My goodness, we're going to have the Arctic ice is going
to
melt.
I wish he were really up to state of the art with respect to the science on global climate change. You have sea ice, which is melting at a rate that the Arctic Ocean now increasingly is exposed. In 5 years, scientists predict we will have the first ice-free Arctic summer.
Oh, but Jesse, he made that prediction. It turned out to be wrong. You're not understanding it. That's not the point. He didn't make the prediction so he could be right. They are prepping the ground for the genocide they are already implementing. Reducing cheap, affordable energy. Reducing the availability of cheap, affordable energy is the most genocidal thing you could possibly do to the people on this planet. Nothing else. Nuclear weapons wouldn't kill as many people as reducing the availability of cheap, affordable energy. Please stop thinking these people are playing games or not serious or naive. They're dead serious. Dead serious. All right, I have more on that. We're going to talk. I'm going to talk to Doug Brunt about the diesel engine first. Fascinating. I learned so much. But I want to talk to you about a gigantic hunk of meat. I want to talk to you about a 10-pound ham. Spiral cut, heritage pork, the best freaking ham you'll ever eat in your life. Would you like one of those? For you think you could use that at Christmas time? How about getting one of those for free? I tell you all the time about Good Ranchers signing up for their American meat. It's all American. Whatever you want, pork, chicken, seafoods, steaks, whatever. Sign up for a meat box, whatever your family needs. They'll deliver the best meat you've ever had in your life to your front door. No more at the grocery store. Deliver to your front door. Well, right now, when you go to goodranchers.com and use the code Jesse and sign up for a meat box, a free 10-pound ham. A free 10-pound ham. Now's the time to sign up. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Jesse with a free ham. Go get you some. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Did I ever tell you I was an inventor, Chris? In fifth grade, we had a challenge that we had to invent something, and I invented this thing where the cops would stand on springs and bounce up and down to practice shootouts with bad guys, and I ended up getting an F on it. The teacher said it wasn't very practical, but I like to consider myself a bit of an inventor, so Rudolph Diesel and I have quite a bit in common, you might say. Joining me now, the author of an amazing book that not only I love, my wife loved it. It's sitting on her nightstand. The Mysterious Case of Rudolph Diesel. Doug Brunt joins us. Doug, this Diesel guy, I didn't know anything about him. What a book.
Well, now you do, and you and he are like brothers from another mother.
We are. You know, just a couple of great minds, Doug, just doing things that inventors do. But he didn't invent some excellent system for cops. He invented other things. What did he invent?
Well, the surprising thing is the ice cube as well, the drinkable ice cube for bars and restaurants and things. But he invented the diesel engine, which even I, 7 years ago, did not know. I always thought diesel was a fuel option when you go to the fueling station, spelled with a lowercase d. But there is this man, a German, Rudolph Diesel, who invented the diesel engine in 1897.
What a shock. A German came up with something brilliant. They tend to do that, but then, of course, they blow it all in the end. Okay, well, how did it land, Doug? I'm assuming the world, especially the most powerful men in the world, received him with open arms when he came up with such a wonderful invention that's still used widely to this day.
Well, he was strongly courted by many, but the engine presented a threat for others. And the book is called The Mysterious Case of Rudolph Diesel because he disappeared mysteriously right before World War I in 1913. And just to sort of briefly set it up, I came across the diesel engine when I bought a boat and repowered a diesel, and I was like, oh, I learned all about the diesel engine. You know, you can 100% of boat fires come from gasoline engines, zero from diesel. The fuel is not flammable. You can drop a lit match into a barrel of diesel fuel and nothing happens. There are no fumes, and you get four times the range. So when I bought these diesel engines for my boat, suddenly I became a diesel guy, and then I discovered there was a man behind it, and he disappeared mysteriously at sea in 1913. So he's traveling across the North Sea from Belgium to Great Britain on an overnight passenger ferry, and in the night, he disappears, and they hold the ship at sea, and they do a search. All they find are his hat and his coat neatly folded at the stern of the ship by the rail, seeming to mark where he might have jumped overboard. And so the prevailing theory was suicide, but there were also two theories of murder, that he might have been murdered either by Kaiser Wilhelm II, the Emperor of Germany, or John Rockefeller, founder of Standard Oil and the richest man in the world. And the weird thing now, Jesse, is like you and I, we didn't know there was this Rudolph Diesel figure in history. But at the time, he was a huge celebrity. To put it in today's terms, it would be like Elon Musk suddenly disappearing overnight, just vanished into thin air, no body, no evidence or anything. And so the newspapers around the world in 1913 went crazy. It was the headline of the New York Times, all the papers in London and Western Europe out to Russia speculating on the disappearance of Diesel and speculating on the potential murder suspects as well.
Speaking with Doug Brunt, author of the book, The Mysterious Case of Rudolph Diesel. Okay, so why break this down for me. Why exactly would the German Kaiser want this guy dead? I would think he would want to court such an individual.
He did want to court Diesel. The reason why everyone was scrambling for Rudolph Diesel's expertise in his engine was that by 1913, the diesel engine had emerged as the only engine that could power a U-boat or a submarine. Kerosene and gasoline engines wouldn't work. There were constant fires and fumes killing the crew, and it didn't have the range and didn't have the power. So this, and remember, this is the time, you're a history buff, I know, you've written a number of books on it, in that era too, you know, Bolshevism around World War I. So you know this is a time of militarism and nationalism and the Anglo-German naval arms race. So the navies of every major power are scrambling for Diesel expertise to build their submarine fleets. And Diesel was still the main guy. The engine was still fairly new, and he was really the main guy who had the expertise to deliver it for undersea use. And the reason he was traveling across the North Sea on that day in September of 1913 was to get to Great Britain, where he was founder and board director of a new diesel engine manufacturing company whose mandate it was to build diesels for the British Royal Navy submarine program. So the Kaiser suddenly was realizing that his German citizen was working for the rival, right, you know, 400 miles across the North Sea. So he was very threatened by that, and that's why people pointed at the Kaiser as one potential murder suspect.
Why Rockefeller? I would think, now I don't know him. I bet you I don't know near as much about John D. Rockefeller as you do, but he always struck me from what I've read as the type of guy who would hire Rudolf Diesel instead of pushing him off the side of a ship.
Well, that he would either hire you or he would take you out. I mean, in those days, Pinkerton Detective Agency was really like the paramilitary wing of big business. And so when Rockefeller met a threat he couldn't fix, he could also go after it in that way. So that he did have that reputation in dealing with, you know, coal mining strikers and things like that. And the reason the diesel engine presented a threat to Rockefeller was that Rudolf Diesel advocated that we not be using petroleum products. He was suggesting that every country could have fuel independence if they had farmers. He won the 1900 Paris World's Fair with a diesel engine running on peanut oil. He could run on peanut oil, vegetable oil, coal tar. And he was running around a trip in 1912 in America saying, I can break the American fuel monopoly and I don't need a law to do it. I can do it with the power of my technology. And so it was a threat to Rockefeller to have Diesel running around, you know, advocating flexibility and alternatives with fuel, and that every nation with farmers could have their own fuel and we don't need to be beholden to Rockefeller's product.
Doug, let me ask you, just because my mind works this way, and it's awful that it does, but you're the one who did so much research on this. Do you believe that maybe he pulled some kind of James Bond escape plan and hopped on some diesel-powered submarine and lived the rest of his days in Barbados or something like that?
Well, I don't. I typically like not to spoil the ending, but I have solved the case.
And
the most I
don't
typically
spoil
will
the
say
ending.
Is it was not suicide. There was a different outcome, and the circumstantial evidence is overwhelming. I vetted this conclusion by former CIA, former FBI, former British intelligence, all who unanimously come back and say, absolutely, this is what happened. So in the book, it starts out as sort of a biography and an explanation. You know, it brings that whole Gilded Age period to life, a quarter mm-hmm. century before World War One that I jokingly referred to with my wife as the Downton Abbey, the early seasons, you know, before mm-hmm. World War One hits and everything changes. So it brings that whole era to life with characters like Adolphus Busch, the founder of Anheuser-Busch, is a huge diesel figure in North America. Winston Churchill plays a huge role. The Nobel family in Russia, it brings it all to life, but it solves the mystery in the end of what actually happened to Rudolf Diesel. And it will, the more you kind of know about the era, the more you can kind of get grounded, and then the more this conclusion will blow your mind.
Yep, my wife geeked out on it specifically because she loves that Downton Abbey show, and she's all, this is the same time period, and I told her, and she went crazy for it. It had all the history stuff for me. He is Doug Brunt. The book is The Mysterious Case of Rudolf Diesel. Highly recommended. I'm not going to give away the ending. Doug, thank you, sir. I appreciate you very much. That was friggin' awesome. It's good. It's really, really good. And remember this. I was having a conversation last night with my son, my oldest son. And I was telling him, hey, you need to start picking up more reading. I want you to read more. No, I don't need you to have a gigantic in-home library or something like that. I don't need him to nerd out on books all the time like me, but I want you to read more. And he said, Dad, I don't like to read. And I said, son, listen to me. I have one son who loves to read and one who doesn't. I said, son, listen to me. History and reading have two things in common, or have something in common, I should say. You know what that something is? Everybody loves them. Everybody. Just a lot of people don't know it. Everyone loves history. Everybody does. You just maybe haven't found someone who presents it the way you like it, or the time period that interests you. But the story of history is the story of man. Action, drama, suspense, everything. The same with reading. Give it a try. You might like nonfiction books more than you think. All right? Go give it a try. Buy the book anyway. The Mysterious Case of Rudolf Diesel. How about that? All right. You want to talk about something good? I have a little bit of good news for us. There are good things happening out there. You want to talk about that? Hang on. Before we get to that. 'Tis the season. What season is that? Oh, there's a bunch of murders and assaults going on. It's the season for that. As the mental health crisis, the drug crisis, homeless crisis, illegal, everything is putting violent people on the streets. The George Soros DAs, the everything. Go get something and carry it on you that will allow you to protect yourself.
That's what the hero gun is. That's what the hero arrow is. The hero arrow even has 120 decibel alarm. Ah, but Jesse, my daughter doesn't like guns. It's not a gun. It's not even lethal. You don't need a concealed carry permit. It fits right in her little hot chick purse. It fits right in the little shorts, whatever. Hero2020.com, code Jesse gets you a special discount. Go. It's a great Christmas gift. Hero2020.com, code Jesse.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show love, hate, death, threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday. Email those into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Before we get back to all the things, and there are many, many things, we have Christopher Wray. I'm going to dig into that next hour. FBI director in front of the Senate. There's all kinds of stuff we can talk about there. Mike Johnson, there's a lot to get to. Chris Hayes and Rachel Maddow discussing Trump and fascism and other things. But before we get to that, I'm pretty excited about something. I have to share it. I didn't feel like Chris and Michael were as excited as I was, but I found something new out there. I was in the studio yesterday, and I was listening to something on my phone. I was just trying to bone up on a couple of things, listening to something on my phone. And I was walking around on my phone, holding my phone up to my ear, you know, hold my phone with the volume up, just walking around getting stuff done. And I thought, there has to be a better way, right? There has to be some kind of a new invention out there. And so I did some digging. I bought a portable speaker. And this speaker, it's really small. Honestly, it's like the size of an apple. I'm not even kidding. And why don't you look impressed, Chris? And it sits right here in the studio, and it plays whatever's on my phone. It connects Bluetooth-wise to my phone and plays that. So if I'm listening to a podcast or even my incredible music selection, this plays it. And again, there's no cord. It Bluetooths right to the speaker. So look, I don't want to rub our advanced technology here in the studio in anybody's face, but I have a portable speaker. So look, I'm proud of it. Very proud of it, and I'm glad I got to tell people. And I don't appreciate at all Chris and Michael's reaction to any of this. Dear Jesse, you had the foresight to see Gavin Newsom's aspirations for the White House, and that was a wake-up call for me. Now it seems that Biden will run, however, he hasn't announced his running mate. I suggest he might pick Newsom and, after elected, bow out, leaving Newsom in the Oval Office. By the way, I love your Medal of Honor Mondays. My father was a Marine fighter pilot in the Battle of Okinawa and flew the F-4U Corsair. He only got the DFC, but flew over 30 missions supporting ground Marines and chasing kamikazes. He would be one of your major supporters. Thanks for exposing communists and Marxists for what they are. We need more like you. Says I can use his name. His name is David. Battle of Okinawa. I'm not going to do a lot of really any history here. Just a couple quick things because there's too much political stuff I want to get to. But for you non-history buffs, you should know that the Battle of Okinawa was, look, they were all uniquely horrible. All the Pacific battles, it was really, 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 really terrible because it was considered inside the defensive perimeter of Japan. Okinawa is on the southern tip of Japan. If we took Okinawa, the Japanese knew it meant that our bombers would bomb all their cities to dust. And they did, of course. And so they set up all this huge defensive line called the Shuri Line. It doesn't matter. And they killed a bunch of our guys on land. But at sea, everyone has heard of kamikazes, the kamikaze planes. The Battle of Okinawa is where the vast majority of those came out because it was a last-ditch desperate effort. A lot of American sailors gave their lives to kamikaze pilots on Okinawa. And like this guy's dad, a Marine fighter pilot, our fighter planes were constantly up in the air. And think about how crazy this would be, how nerve-wracking this would be. They're in the air and they have to identify these planes and not just win a dogfight, right? They have to take this plane out of the sky because the plane is heading towards a ship.
and it's going to try to crash. He's trying to die. You know how hard it is to take out somebody who's trying to die? It's not like I'm fighting him. He's fighting me. I have to take the plane out or he will kill sailors. And our fighter pilots were constantly up in the air doing that. And get this, you want to hear something really cool? You know how good our fighter pilots were? So the Japanese in World War II, on all the islands, they really had this in common. They would go to the caves. They would either go to natural caves or improve natural caves or build their own caves, but they were always digging into the ground, digging into the side of a mountain. It was a huge cave battle. And that's why the flamethrowers came out. It was the only way to get them out of there. You got to cook them out and whatnot. Our fighter pilots got so good that if they could see, or if the Marines on the ground and Army guys on the ground marked it properly, our fighter pilots could fly over these caves, drop a bomb with a special setting on it, and boom, bounce a bomb off the ground into the cave where the bomb from the plane would blow up. That's a true story. Did you know that? That's how incredibly skilled these pilots were. And our guys on the ground were suffering incredibly. The environment itself was suffering, right? All that malaria, all that death. The Japanese were uniquely horrible. All the torture and the death and the terror tactics they would use. Remember, the Japanese would sneak into your fighting hole in the middle of the night, knowing they were going to die. They'd just sneak in your fighting hole with a sword and try to cut your head off. You'd wake up in the morning and find your buddies dead in the fighting hole beside you, and maybe the Japanese dead with them, right? It was a terrible war in that way. That portion of the war was so terrible. The appreciation, if you read the stories from these guys, the appreciation they had for the pilots and how many lives those pilots saved with the things they did for the men on the ground, it brought up cheers. You're sitting there, you're suffering, you're dying, you can't get these guys out of a cave, your buddy just got shot, he's on the ground in pain, and then along comes the pilot, and he fixes it for you. Man, they had such incredible admiration for those guys, and vice versa. The pilots would look at the guys on the ground and had unique admiration for them, but I thought you'd enjoy that little tidbit. We have to talk about what Dick Durbin said about illegals joining the military. And we're going to address that, and then we're going to address the Christopher Wray stuff. Gosh, next hour is going to be jam-packed. I did promise you good news, so let me give you this, because I missed out on that little promise. Patrick McHenry, loser rhino in the House, he's going to retire from the House. We're losing the old guard that needs to be gone. They're retiring. They're sick of you. That's awesome. I can feel the testosterone levels rising in the GOP. It's not just the chalk. The chalk. The male vitality stacks. All right, fellas, have you done your 90 days yet? That's all I asked, right? Ladies, 90 days? It's Christmas sale time right now. You've heard me tell you about chalk, natural herbal supplements a million times. Have you done it for 90 days yet? Give it 90 days. Take your male vitality stack every day if you're a dude. 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days naturally. Not getting injections in your arm and crap like that. You're going to feel so good. Ladies, the female vitality stack, you're going to feel so good. And take advantage of sales, man. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse is how you get those sales. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. Go get some chalk. It's time to discuss illegals in the military. And Christopher Wray, next.
This is an iHeart podcast.